Welcome to episode 289 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about part two of our series on unschooling. We're going to answer a couple of questions here, really three of them in reality. We're going to talk about what is unschooling, what is it not, because I think that is equally as important as understanding what it is. And then let's talk about why should a person unschool. Hey, stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There's always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is February the 28th, 2013. End of the week, Friday. Some of you guys may be sitting here thinking, whoa, Trey, seriously, dude. It is Friday, man. Where in the heck are the Real Family Guys podcast show? The answer to that is this. Number one, Jeff is actually with his family. They have been doing a fantastic cross the United States tour from the Grand. We hail from Texas, both of us do, but he has made a trip up to as far as the Grand Canyon, all the way down to I think he went to California to go to Disneyland. But they've been making a big trip, and they're probably on their return trip now. They may be home. But Jeff was expecting to get home very, very late tonight. So as such, he said, man, can we take a break? Well, I normally do a show on Monday and Wednesday, and that I would have skipped today. However, we had a lot of stuff going on Sunday night, so I went ahead and stayed up and helped my wife get the house straightened up and cleaned up from the weekend. And we took off Monday, so with the exception of doing it on Wednesday and Friday. So if you're used to this show and you're wondering what the heck's going on, that's what that is all about. Yeah, let's see. Topic for today is going to be unschooling. We're going to talk a little bit about what is unschooling. We're also going to talk about what I think is important to go on the other side of that. What is homeschooling not? I think a lot of times we focus solely on what it is, and I don't think we get a full picture of what it isn't. And so we're going to go a little bit on both of those, and then we're going to wrap up on today. Why should we even consider unschooling? Because I think that's a valid question, because I think a lot of you guys are going to have that question. Trey, why in the world should I even consider this unschooling thing? Sounds a little crazy to me. I have a sneaking suspicion that as we get through the what it is and what it is not series part of it, of all of this, I think you guys will understand why we can go into the why unschooling part and not sound crazy. But anyway, before we do that, guys, let's jump into some quick housekeeping. We'll stay notified of all the new episodes. Jump over to the Family Podcast on the right-hand side, enter your name and your email address. Get put on our mailing list to make sure you don't miss out on any shows that you don't want to miss out on. Guys, also don't forget, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode, you can jump over to the Family Podcast, click on Become a Member, or on the PTAC button. Whenever you do that, you can sign up at $5 a month. It is simple. It is easy. You can do it through PayPal or a credit card through PayPal, either one of those that you would prefer to do. Also, guys, I am also accepting Bitcoins as well as a Flatter. F-L-A-T-T-R, if you guys are a part of Flatter. What that is, Flatter is basically a place that you upload money up onto a site, and whenever you find somebody who accepts Flatter, you can basically leave a little tip. And it's basically like putting a tip jar on every one of these shows. So maybe you get to one, you're like, dang, Trey, you have no idea how much this helped me. I just want to give you a quick tip. You can drop $2 in the quote-unquote jar. Bitcoin is the same way. I've got Bitcoin set up if you are a TSP listener, and you've set up Bitcoin to help pay for like your MSB membership. Same exact thing. If you click on the Bitcoin thing at the very bottom of the post, you can donate and leave money that way as well. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, there's lots of ways to do that. I'm going to skip it for today because this intro segment is going to go long, and I'm not going to keep it any longer. If you have any questions on how to touch base with me, go to the Contact Us page on thefamilypodcast.com. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way, let's jump into our show for today. We're going to talk a little bit about a topic that is very near and dear to me. As most of you guys know, I'm going to tell you guys a quick story here, just very briefly, on Trey and his family. So when my wife and I first got married, we had initially talked about having kids. And truthfully, when we first got married, I wanted one kid. I just did. I wanted one kid. My wife wanted like 13. That's not a joke. That is a very dead serious thing. My wife wanted 13 kids. And there was that small part of me that's like, is this going to be some kind of incompatibility thing? The longer we were married, especially after we had my daughter Anna, and I got to start practicing some of the stuff that I teach you guys here, and I began to realize that this parenting gig, I could do this. I began to want more and more. So eventually we reached a point that we both had kind of talked about. I mean, I went from wanting one kid, an only child, to I think we've settled on eight now. I think we've settled on eight, if you can believe that. So we kind of bumped that up. Well, we sat down one day, and my wife kind of mentioned to me, she's like, Trey, I want to homeschool the kids. My first thought was, bullcrap, we ain't doing that. There was no way in my mind that I was ever going to let our kids be homeschooled. Because I went through all the traditional stuff. Oh, there's a socialization. And I went through all these different things. And I fought tooth and nail against the idea of homeschooling. Finally, I got to get a job where I actually got to set foot in almost every single school here in Abilene, Texas. And while I was in there, in every single school, from the little kindergartners all the way up to the 12th graders, seniors in high school, I saw a teacher in a kid's face, finger pointed at them, shouting at them, even the little bitty baby kids. And you see, that got my attention. The more and more of these kiddos that I met with, I sat down with them, and they kept telling me about how much they hate school, how much they hate this. And in my mindset, I'm thinking, man, how can this even be, man? I remember my science class. It was so awesome. And I would tell the kids this. I remember my science class so awesome. We would blow up sodium in the sink, and we would dissect frogs. Man, I mean, why do you not enjoy doing that when it comes to school? Kid looked me in the face, and he said, we don't do that kind of stuff. We do handouts. We answer the questions at the end of the book after we read them. So, wow, no. Wait. Are you trying to tell me that you've never... This is a high schooler, right? Mind you, this is a junior, almost about to finish up a junior in high school. So, yeah, right. Okay, you're trying to tell me you've never dissected a worm. No. A frog? No. A cat? No. A fish? No. You telling me you have never dissected anything? No. What do you do? Handouts. Isolated event, maybe. It's just one bad egg. It kind of makes sense. I began to see that over and over and over. And don't get me wrong. There's some great teachers out there that are doing great things, that are instigating learning in kids. But the vast majority of them were not. And I came home one day and I sat down with my wife and I said, Corey, I'm on board with this homeschooling thing. I said, I'm seeing things that are too horrible, that are too terrible. I see kids that think that learning is a punishment. And I did not want that for my kiddos. So we embarked upon the journey. We began looking up all the different kind of homeschooling curriculums that were out there. We've never made it a secret here at the Family Podcast Network that my wife and I are actively and openly professing Christians. And so we were looking for some Christian stuff as well. And we were looking for whatever we could find. We weren't, necessarily stuck to that. We were looking for whatever we could find. And we found some good stuff, but we sat there looking through some of the lessons. And I kept thinking about, how do we apply this to my daughter? And I talked with my daughter about it, and she just kind of looked at it and went, yeah, okay, whatever. And I sat there and I thought, there's got to be something better. About that time, it was a couple years ago, over at one of my favorite shows, the Survival Podcast. I know we got several of you guys that listen to that as well with us here. I heard them talk about this idea of unschooling. Well, up until this point, I'd been getting this idea that, you know what, my kids seem to learn the best when I just let them go and be. When I can just sit back and let them sit in front of life and do life and experience life, they begin to learn. And so we began to discover that really the best thing that we could do was just let our kids fall in love with learning. We were already kind of on that path of realizing that this mentality of, we take our kids, we sit them down in front of a teacher, and they lecture at somebody for 8 hours a day, and they have an hour lunch break and all this other kind of stuff, it does not set them up to learn anything, at least not in the way we wanted them to. In our mindset, I began to think, it's awful lot like blue-collared workers. Now, I'm not dogging the blue-collared worker. However, their mentality often is, the mentality for the folks that are in blue-collar jobs, is that you clock them in, they do their work, they don't even typically like it, and they clock out, they go home. And I began to think, I did not want that for my kids, and I overheard one of the podcasts we were talking about on TSP, where they were talking about what unschooling was. And the minute that I heard it, even though the lady that was reporting on it was kind of weird in my opinion, I thought, no, what she's talking about educationally is right. What she's doing there is right. And I began some hardcore research on unschooling, and I read through that, and I looked at it, and I said, Corey, we need to talk. And I sat down, and I explained it to her as best as I could in about 30 minutes. And when I got done, she said, I'm going to go look this up, which is a good sign for my wife. That means I've got her. I've got her hooked at least. And she sat down, and we researched this stuff, and we got done with it, and we said, this is the way to roll. This accesses and utilizes kids' learning better than anything else we've ever found. And that began the very first day of our unschooling journey. We emptied out all of the shopping carts that we had filled up with all of the homeschooling materials that we were going to line out in front of them, and we adopted this model. Okay, Trey, now that you spent all this time giving this little flowy story, so what? Before I'm going to jump into this, I want you guys to get a firm understanding. I want you to kind of get a feel for what exactly is modern education? Where did it come from? You see, I think this is an especially important question to ask ourselves. Because a lot of people assume that our modern education system is something that has been around for thousands and millions of years. And in reality, it's only been around for a couple of hundred. That's a very, very small portion of our entire history. This idea that we do, this educational system that we approach here in the United States is very young. And the reality being is that long before we did this, we educated in much, much different ways. So what exactly is our modern education system? Our modern education system comes from a little place called the Prussian education system. Initially, it was created by the Germans in the 1800s. That's right. 1800. So what exactly was the Prussian education system? Prussian education system had a few basic tenets. Number one, all education is compulsory and you have to attend. There's no maybe I will, there's no whatever it is, you're going to go. Whether you want to learn or not, whether you want to grow up and be somebody who has an education, you're going to do it, period. There is no maybe I will, there is no I guess I could, there is no go get a job because I need the money before then. It is no, you are going to spend these first parts of your life learning what we tell you. Second off, in the Prussian education system, you have to get specific training for teachers. Now, a lot of people look at that and say, well, isn't that what you want, Trey? Don't you want training for teachers? Yes, yes, you do. Do you want every single teacher growing up with the exact same type of training? I say no. There's certain things that maybe you want standardized. If a teacher's going to have math, maybe you want them to have a math education. Or, if nothing else, have an extreme inclination to teaching and to math. Yeah, I get that. But do you want every teacher growing up and graduating out doing the exact same thing in the exact same way with the exact same emphasis? No, you sure don't. You defeat uniqueness, which is something that kids thrive on. One of the best things about my wife and I is that we have so many differences, and each one of our kids connects with some of those things. I am a very, very touchy-feely type of guy. So I'm the guy that my kids run to for hugs and kisses and all that other kind of stuff. And they go to their mama too, but there's no doubt that I'm one of their big ones. I'm a playful type. So they come to me to play. But my wife has an eye for what matches and what looks good. So you better believe they go to her to help figure out, what do I want to wear today? Funny enough, even though I consider myself the more touchy-feely, my wife is the much more sensitive to the bumps and the boo-boos and the bruises and the crashes and the falls. I have a tendency to want to run to the, suck it up and get over it, kid. And my wife is the, poor sugar, I bet that really hurt. So they want to go to her. So you see, each individual person comes and brings a natural set of things to the table that make them unique and diversified. And whenever you push a system where everybody has to go in and everybody has to get the same training and talk the same way and teach the same way, you limit the natural ability for people to convey information through their style of teaching. Next part of the Prussian education system is national testing for all students. Now, the mentality behind this was, what we're going to do is we're going to use this to help, you know, kind of get an idea of whether or not a kid is ready for a job, right? So do they have the skills that we deem are necessary to walk out and get a job? Well, let's be honest. Does any one job, no, does any five jobs need exactly the same thing? Let's do it this way. I used to work in a cabinet-making shop years ago. Does any one cabinet-making shop require all of the exact same skill set? No. No, not at all. Some cabinet makers only do upper high-end cabinets. Some of them do mid-grade. Some of them do very cheap, easy-to-install cabinets, and some of them do all three. And they all require a different set of skills and knowledge. So you cannot use, in the sense of this mentality, you cannot use some kind of national testing as a benchmark for what everybody needs. National curriculum. Now, this is another one that people will look at and say, well, I mean, what's wrong with that, Trey? Don't we want our curriculum and the things that we're teaching to be the same across the board? The answer to that is typically, yes, we do. We want kids getting the same free, open information that is truthful and honest, just like everybody else, right? We want to make that fair. We don't want there to be some people that manipulate that. The problem is, whenever you take a curriculum like that and you consolidate it down into one people or a small group of people that get to make that choice, most of them do it for good reasons, but that sets you at a liability, because then the curriculum becomes easy to modify and make wrong, make lie. See what I'm saying? The next part of the Prussian educational system is that you each have a set of grades. You have a set of age groups that lumps into a certain group of people. And everybody has to get through that level of learning. They have to know, they have to have a quote-unquote mastery of certain concepts and understand ideas and belief systems and math equations, etc. They have to be able to do a certain set of things or else they fail. Okay? And then last, they have a mandatory kindergarten. That was it. Kindergarten's a very new thing in the educational system. Most of the time, up until this point, with the early 1800s, with this Prussian education system, is most people saw that kids that would be in kindergarten were too stinking young to be having education. They should be learning how to socialize and talk and interact with people, not memorizing stuff or coloring in or learning shapes. So that's the Prussian educational system. It was adopted into the United States in the 1950s, I think 1953, if I remember correctly. They adopted that in. Again, this was real popular in Germany and Austria. And they've placed it into effect here long after we had been here for a while. So it's not even like this is some kind of brand new thing that, you know, happened right when America got started. We did it a very different way for years. And it wasn't until the 1850s that you start to see this pop up. And we've adopted this principle of belief. So I want to talk a little bit today. What is unschooling? And the basic part about it is unschooling is the antithesis, the absolute opposite, the diametric opposition to the Prussian-style model of learning. So I'm going to walk you guys through a list of what it is and what it isn't. Number one, unschooling. What is it? It is interest-driven. It believes that kids need to figure out what it is that they love, what it is that they're passionate about, and what drives them, because when they find that, they follow it. I went through all the standard public schools, guys, and I'm here as a successful adult. However, I never had desire to learn code, not PHP, not CSS, nothing. I didn't want to learn any of that crap, which is a style of code that translates on a web page, by the way, guys. I didn't have any desire to learn any of that. I don't want to learn how to write in it. But the next thing I know, I became an entrepreneur and I started a web business where I was, for the longest time, I was the only webmaster that we had here. And I had to learn all these problems and all these different things and how to fix them. But you better believe that once I had an interest in it, a passion, once it had caught in my interest and how much money I could save by doing it myself, the next thing I know, I was learning PHP at an extraordinary rate. Unschooling says that kids can do the same thing, that when kids have an interest in what they're doing, they naturally want to learn. I'll give you all a quick example. I think I've shared this a few times. I was just so proud of my son for it. We were sitting down playing Halo once, and every time that there was something that was popping up and you had to be able to read on the screen what was being said, and he kept saying, "Dad, what says that?" And I was reading it to him. "Dad, what's that say?" And I'd read it to him. Finally, I got tired of it. So I started telling him, "Son, listen, if you want to know what that says, you're going to have to learn how to read, buddy." And he asked me that, "Dad, what does that say?" "Son, if you want to learn how to read, if you want to read that, you're going to learn to read." Blah, blah, blah. Sorry, guys. Did it again. "Dad, what does that say?" "I mean, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm not going to tell you. If you want to know what that says, you've got to learn how to read." And I remember one day that something had come up and something had popped up on the screen. And he looked at me and he opened up his mouth. And you could tell. You could see that realization hit his face. "Dad's not going to tell me what this says." Little dude got up, walked into our room, pulled out all of the stuff that we had on writing and sat down. Said, "Dad, I want you to teach me how to read." We sat down, and he started reading. You see, you take the interest of the kid, and you put it to work for you. Next off, what is unschooling? It is child-led. Child-led doesn't just mean that the kids do the activity. What that means is that if you're going to do a birdhouse activity, because that's what the kids want to do, is, "Dad, I want to build a birdhouse." All right. When we say child-led, we do not mean that you go out and buy all of the stuff that you need to make a birdhouse. It means that you tell the kids, "You need to learn how to make a birdhouse." That means we need to figure out what you need to do. And they come back and they say, "Well, I need to learn how to cut all this wood into these parts." And then you let them do it. Now, does that mean that you let a small kid who has no ability to control himself to run a handsaw? No, it's not what we're saying. What we're talking about is that you give your kids as much of the control as you can and still feel comfortable enough. Not comfortable, comfortable enough. Next off, in what is unschooling, it is, again, it is self-directed. Kids are the ones that take the initiative. If kids all of a sudden say, "Oh, Dad, I want to go to Fossil Rim here in Texas and I want to see all the cool fossils." Self-directed learning says, "Okay, what do we need to do?" "I don't know. You're supposed to look that up." "I don't have the desire to go." "You do. What do we need to do?" "Oh, okay, Dad. I'll go look that up." They go look up the information. Maybe they call a few places. They do everything. It is self-directed. That means that if we want our kids to read, that we do not sit there and force them to read for 20 minutes a day. What that means is that we help them fall in love and we provide them with the books so that they want to read 20 minutes a day. So you want to allow your kids in this style of belief system to have as much freedom as you find bearable. Not just comfortable with, guys. Mind you, when we talk about unschooling, it's not about giving them the freedom that they want that makes us comfortable. If that's the case, probably nothing would make us comfortable. But it's what you can find bearable. How far can you go and still bear it? Homeschooling has a belief that the natural way that we learn, what the Prussian education model and the U.S. model is saying, is that you have to be in a classroom. Unschooling rejects that and says, no, we learn by living. We were struggling like crazy to teach my daughter Anna how to count. I mean, we were just having hell in a handbag with it, driving us bonkers. And one day I was like, you know what? And it was right as we were getting ready to make that decision to quit doing homeschooling and move to an unschooling. You know, we'd been flirting with that idea for a while. Finally, I said, you know what, kids, let's just go for a walk. And we went on a walk, and we were walking down, and I looked in a pasture. We kind of live in a rural part outside of Abilene. And I looked in a pasture, and there were several horses in there. I said, "Oh, Lana, look, there's horses out there. How many horses are there?" And she was so fascinated by the horse, and she desperately wanted to know how many she saw. She's like, "Dad, I want to go home and tell Mom that I saw this many horses." So, well, let's count. How many horses are there? And she looked out there, and she goes, "Okay, one? Good. Two? Good. Dad, what comes after that?" I said, "Three, baby." "Oh, yeah, that's right. Three. Four." And she sat there and she did that. And occasionally I'd have to step in and remind her of a number. Occasionally I'd have to step in and maybe remind her how to say it the most clearly. But she sat there and she forced herself to remember that. And I'll tell you, from that day on, she never had a problem with memorizing her numbers. You see, the natural way that we learn is by living it. Not sitting in a classroom, not speculating, not reading about how John looked in the field and saw this many horses. How many horses is it? It's about going to see the horses. Now, I'm not just telling that if you guys want to teach your kids how to learn, that you go run them out to a field of horses. Your kid may hate horses. That's okay. That's not a good learning medium for them. But the idea behind it is that our kids are going to learn the best information the quickest that they could ever learn it, that is cross-applicable and reusable by living their lives instead. And by instead, I mean instead of sitting in a classroom listening to lecture-style stuff where they color their freaking crayons and told not to color outside the lines. Another fundamental belief system behind unschooling is that we learn whenever we really need to learn something. So in other words, it rejects the idea that we learn at certain ages. Like by certain age, you should know all of these things. By this time in high school, you should know your Pythagorean theorem. By this certain set in time here, you should be able to speak without having speech issues. By this certain age, you should know this many words and you should know how to spell that. You see, unschooling rejects that model and says that when kids really need something, they'll use it. And when they really actually need it to the point that they'll use it, they will learn it faster than any other time in their life that they could have. We learn whenever we're really needed, not at certain ages, not at certain developmental milestones. We learn things whenever we need them. What is it? Parents actively provide whatever resources is requested. That's right. A lot of the major opponents to this say, oh, well, it's just lazy parenting. The parents don't get involved. That's a big, huge, motherfucking lie. The parents in most cases are more involved than the other types of parents, the other types of educations, and I say even more so than teachers. They have to be. They have to know their kid because the biggest part about growing a kid is helping figure out who they are and then helping them figure out who they are. It's the biggest piece of it. So we have to be providing them with whatever resource it is that they need. My daughter a while back said, oh, Dad, I want to be a biologist. I want to be a zookeeper. Excuse me. She said, I want to be a zookeeper. Man, I'd love to be a zookeeper. That'd be so great. I wish I knew all the kind of animals I could get. So what do? We bought her a book on zookeeping and all the different animals that are out there. A while back, she was like, Dad, there's a such and such anaconda, and I can't decide if I want it in there. I wonder how big they get. Come here, let's pull open Google on my iPad and ask it. We Google searched it. You see, this kind of parenting is not lazy. As a matter of fact, it is probably more draining than any other you can imagine. You have to know your kids so deeply and so intimately. And you have to help them understand that. And not only that, you have to help them understand that without giving them the answer. You are this. You have to help them come to that at least somewhat in their own mind. But it's our job to bring resources to the table so that they can learn the most efficiently when they are ready. Unschooling, what's it about? It is actually about play. With little bitty kids, there's the belief system that play is the ultimate way that kids learn. And so they take the approach in unschooling as you let your kids play. Let them go out and get their play on. You don't try to sit there and hold them back, etc. But it is also about responsibility. There's also the belief system in unschooling that kids learn some of the most that they can through personal responsibility, even when they're little. One of the things that we do here at Casa de Gibson is that our kids, we have a very pseudo-sophisticated way that we do chores and etc. We have a set of chores for our kids that we vary day by day, and we have a chart that we put out for every single day, who's in charge of this, who's in charge of that, what they've got to do. And every kid's required that they have to get up and do their daily morning chores and their daily evening chores. So in a daily morning chores, they go out and they do all the certain things that they need to do and they check them off. And then when they're done, they can play. You see, inside of that, we are teaching them something huge. We are teaching them to take personal responsibility for their things. And it's beginning to pay off in spades. Just tonight, we were sitting out, and I walked the kids down to the park. It was getting dark, and I was getting ready to pull the kids in, and all of a sudden, I heard crash. Incidentally, they were at the basketball court at the church that's down the road, and Grant brought a skateboard. Yeah, you know where this is going, right? Well, the four-year-old, Cora, my four-year-old, had gone out there and was with him out there, and I was watching the one-year-old play around in the park, actual park, you know, the little park with slides and stuff like that. So next thing I know, I hear this crash sound, and all of a sudden Cora is just just bawling, right? And she's running to me, so I'm thinking, all right, you know, there's probably some blunt force trauma here, you know? And she comes running up to me, and my other two kids come running up behind her, right? And the very first words out of my son's mouth are this: "Dad, it was my fault. I pushed her too hard. I shouldn't have. She asked me to stop, and I didn't, and she fell off." He then turned to Cora and grabbed her little four-year-old hands, and he looked her in the eyes and said, "Cora, I'm so sorry that I pushed you too fast. I won't do that again." My son's 5, about to be 6. And he took complete and full responsibility for himself and his actions. And then, if that wasn't enough, my 7-year-old daughter Anna then stepped in. She goes, "Well, Dad, being honest, I was kind of telling Grant that he should push her faster. So really, if there's anybody whose fault it is, it's probably my fault. Because he was listening to me, and I was telling him to go faster." You see, I don't see that in other little kiddos. Maybe one, but certainly not in 2, under the ages of 7. Why do my kids do that? We're not super parents. We screw up. I shout at my kids and say things that I shouldn't have. I spend time doing stupid stuff when I really should be sitting down and playing with them. Why do they do that? It's because they are learning personal responsibility. And I do not believe you can teach a kid responsibility, not authentic, genuine responsibility, inside the public school system. It happens at home because we use that and we teach that and we teach them why it's important to take personal responsibility for stuff. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The next thing about unschooling that shocks people in some cases, especially those that are just learning about this, is it's very socially interactive. It's not about staying home all day and never giving them access. Quite the opposite. It's why I say that unschooling is significantly harder. It is very socially interactive. It is very much about getting our kids plugged in and involved with whatever it is that they need to be involved with. Play is a huge piece of it, like we mentioned earlier. Kids' ability to sit out and go play brings some of the most robust things that they can learn. My kids have this one little girl at one of the churches we attend, and this little kiddo just has some really bad habits. And they sit down with her, and they learn these bad habits, and they bring them home. And it's that social interaction that they bring home that allows us to talk about, okay, let's talk about why we don't whine to get what we want. Let's talk about why we do not smack each other in the face to get what we want. Let's talk about why we do not call each other a duty head to get what we want, right? We get that opportunity to talk to them. It is so socially interactive. And I'm telling you, if you are not being socially interactive with your children, you are not unschooling. Now, I'm also not suggesting that you're out at a park every single day of the week. You may go to the park only once and spend the rest of the time at home. But the major piece of it is that you are getting them socially interacting. Why do we do that? You see, public schools spend the entire first few years of a kid's educational life just smashing information in them. The unschooling way says absolutely not. The most important thing that you can teach your kid is how to communicate, how to talk, and how to listen. Why? Because education and filling kids with information like public schools want to do requires excellent communication skills. How many times have kids failed or not done well or not gotten a lesson? I'm not talking about jerking around and being a turd, not really studying or listening. I'm talking about kids that are really trying to learn and they're just not getting it. How many times did that come because they just didn't understand what the teacher was saying? It happens a lot. At least a lot of the kids I've worked with over the last few years. So that's why it's so stinking important to teach our kids communication skills. Not just how to talk and how to listen, but then also how to interpret when things are unclear. Okay, I didn't understand what you said. Are you telling me this? No. Okay, tell me more. Help me again. And how to refine things until we get the right statement. That is equally as important. So it's very, very socially interactive. The next part about unschooling is that it emphasizes different learning styles. You see, the reality is there's different types of ways that we learn. Some people are very kinesthetic. They need to do and feel and touch. Some people are very auditory, and they can just hear it, and it just sticks. Some people are very visual, and they can look at it and see it be done once, and they just remember it, and it comes back. And then some people are a combination of all of those. Well, let's think about what public school is. A teacher talks to the kids and tells them what to do. Which one of those is it? auditory. Maybe that makes a little bit of visual in, but it's typically auditory, which is great for kids that are auditory learners. But what about those that are kinesthetic, that need to go do it and touch it, be a part of it? That's often very popular. You'll see some of that in younger grades. You'll see, you know, little elementary kids that are doing that. But do you, how many junior high and high school kids do you see still doing that kinesthetic work? Very few. It's also whenever you hear kids complaining the most about hating school. Coincidence? I don't think so. All right. Next on the list is unschooling actually accepts that kids grow at different rates. You see it universally. One of your kids just absolutely picks up on reading, and another kid seems like they are never going to learn how to read, and I'm a bad parent. It seems like one kid figures out social interactions and how to read people's faces and understand what they're feeling, and it seems like another kid is just like, he is, you know, Asperger syndrome. Right? Different kids learn in different ways. Some kids just pick up math as though it is the simplest, most easy thing they can ever imagine, and some don't. Some kids can just sit there and start writing in cursive after practicing a few times, and some can't. You see, unschooling acknowledges that different kids grow at different rates, and if you smash a whole bunch of kids all into one place, probably or at least maybe not, using their particular learning style, and you smoosh them all into a room, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to have a really hard time learning. Kids grow at different rates. Unschooling allows them to set their pace and get things squared away when they are ready. See, unschooling does not value information. You see, the public education system is primarily focused on kids memorizing information. You need to sit down, you need to memorize when these dates occurred. You need to memorize your multiplication tables. You need to memorize the Pythagorean theorem. You need to memorize why it is condensation works, right? It's an issue of memorizing information. Unschooling says no. The most important part is not the information that they can pull in and retain. The most important part is how much do we make them fall in love with learning. You see, I had to relearn that because when I grew up in high school and in junior high and all those places, I did not enjoy learning. And the older that I've gotten and the more experience that I've had, I've gotten the opportunity to fall back in love with learning new stuff. I find it a joy to learn new information. Even if that new information is about history and what's happened in the past, even that is wonderful to me. Unschooling has this belief that kids will pursue knowledge rather than the idea that knowledge has to pursue kids. You see, in a public school system, the knowledge that kids have, they're pursued by it. You've got teachers chasing around. You need to know this. You need to memorize that. I know you don't like it, but you need to do it anyway. Maybe if you get it right, I'll give you this little sticker that has a, you know, some nerd dude with his hat on backwards with a thumbs up. Cool, bro. Gold star type stuff, right? Unschooling says no. If you're doing this crap right, kids will chase after the knowledge on their own. Self-directed, proactively. Child-led. We don't have to do anything but just give them the stuff that they need to go do the learning. You see, one of the overarching things that's my favorite piece of unschooling is that unschooling says is that we need to be teaching our kids to do real things. We have a tendency to patronize our kids, I think, especially our young kids, by giving them these goofy, dumb, little stupid things. We teach them how to make, you know, Santa Claus faces with popsicles and cotton balls. And guys, hear me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with being creative and learning how to do that. That could be a fun task for a kid. But what I'm saying is, how in God's freaking name does that help them when they get out in real life? Because the last time I saw, I can't find any job descriptions that talks about must be able to precisely mount cotton balls onto Santa Claus face pictures. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive with this. And I know I'm going to have some teachers listen to this or people that have teachers in their lives that they're fond of. And this is going to piss them off. Frankly, I don't care anymore. I care so little about these teachers now because I care so much about these kids. But let's be honest. This isn't real work. These aren't real things. Kids need to be going out and doing real things. instead of sitting my kids down doing useless tasks, let them help me wash the dishes. They love it. What a great skill we can be teaching them. Why do we wash dishes? You see, I could talk to my kids about that. Dad, why do you wash dishes? Well, I mean, why not? Well, I mean, it just seems like it takes up so much time and you don't seem like you like it very much. First off, good observation, son. I don't like it very much. I said, however, son, it's a survival need. What? Yeah, I said, washing dishes is a survival need. What do you mean? Well, I said, son, it's a part of health and sanitation. If we don't clean these plates, then food can develop bacteria and germs. And those germs can spread and they can make us get sick and then they can attract bugs and other nasty little critters that will come eat the food while it sits on our plate. So then also you can start getting, you know, as these bacteria begin to form, they release molecules that stink, creates odor. And again, that can also make us sick as these things are floating around the house. It's not good. See, look at that. That's a life lesson in a dish. See, when we really do real things, we get the opportunity to give them real lessons. Don't get me wrong. There's lessons to be had in Popsicle Santa. Yes, I agree. Perseverance. Do dumb tests even if you don't like it. I'm just being a jerk. Even if I kind of agree with what I'm saying, I'm being a jerk. But we want our kids doing real things. Next off, for unschooling, kids have the authority over their self. You see, this is that one that especially my little control freak friends trip out about. Oh my God, but Trey, kids don't have the capabilities to make decisions for themselves when they're little. Okay, maybe yours don't. But Trey, a kid's not ready to be making big decisions about themselves like that. Okay, maybe yours aren't. Mine are. Yeah, but Trey, I don't think you seem to understand. You can't trust a kid to make good decisions about themselves on that. Okay, maybe yours can't. Mine can. Now, I'm not doing this to sound arrogant or prideful. Once again, we have given our kids probably just as many bad habits as we have good. But the bottom line to this is, we have got to teach our kids that they are the ones that have authority over themselves. What I mean by that is, we don't want our kids growing up thinking that the only way for them to choose the right thing, to make the right choice, is to always know that mommy and daddy, big brother, and I mean that metaphorically in terms of the book, as well as literally maybe big brother, is standing over your shoulder watching to make sure you choose the quote right thing. No! It's not what we want for our kids. We want our kids being proactive, self-directed, to make the right goddamn choice without me watching them. You cannot do that by riding their little butts and by saying, oh, well, they're not ready for that. That's just a lazy decision. I must assume that my kids aren't ready for that. So that way I don't actually have to take the responsibility to make them ready for that. Let kids take responsibility and authority over themselves. Let them experience the consequences of their crappy decisions. I'm not suggesting that if they want to go play with a shotgun in the middle of the interstate that you let them do it. But what I'm saying is let them be responsible for themselves. Teach them that they must be responsible for themselves. And more importantly, teach them that they have authority over themselves. Unschooling also says that learning is fun. It is not work. Oh my God, that's the biggest thing that we push right now, is that learning is schoolwork. Why does that have to be mutually exclusive? Why can't learning be fun? The answer is it absolutely can be. It's just that the modern Prussian system that we've built sucks poop, and it isn't any fun because it's compulsory. You have to do it whether you want to or not. And you have to learn everything at these exact same levels. And everybody has to learn exactly the same way at the same rate. And everybody needs to know the exact same topics. Seriously, our modern education system sucks. But I'll tell you this. You tell that to a teacher, ooh, doggies, man. They immediately jump on you as though you just called them a bad teacher. You know what? Maybe they are bad teachers. But not in the sense that they sit around connivingly talking about how they're going to make the worst possible education for every kid. Of course they want the best for them, in most cases. But what I mean when I say bad teacher is that we understand this is not the way kids learn, and yet we continue to serve a system that is not doing any better. Well, unless you want to say, well, let's add on some more standardized testing. You know what? We already give them a test, but let's pre-test them before the test. Follow the money, by the way. Where does that influence? Where does that help people? The people that make tests. You know, for every test that they administer, they have to make, you have to pay them for it. Yeah. Do the math on that. The thing about unschooling is that it actually allows uncertainty. And, you know, public school is built around the certainty of expectation, the certainty of familiarity, the certainty of nothing will be different. That's the entire premise behind it, is that every single day we're going to come, we're going to check in, we're going to clock our time card and get it started, we're going to do whatever task you're asked of us and told of us to do, we're going to take an hour for lunch, we're going to fin you the last half of the day doing exactly what we're told to do it, exactly the way we're told to do it, exactly when we're told to do it, then we're going to clock out at 3:30 and go home. There's no uncertainty in that. There are some folks that I know, some articles that I've read, some common sense of beliefs that I cannot disagree with. They talk about this Prussian mentality of educational system that we've adopted in the United States was specifically designed to help create blue-collared workers that were already preconditioned by the time they graduated from high school to be able to walk into that level of doldrumous life in terms of our industrial revolution and be okay and survive. That they were trained to be able to walk in, clock their time card, do exactly what they were told, when they were told to do it, at the exact time they were told to do it, take their hour-long lunch break, and then do the exact same thing in the last half of the day, and then go home. I can't disagree with that. Not at least in the educational model that we're talking about here. What is unschooling? Unschooling says that we're supposed to motivate ourselves, that kids are supposed to motivate themselves for what they do. Oh, well, Trey, they wouldn't do that. If with the opportunity to play video games or do something else, they wouldn't do that. Bull crap. I've seen it happen too many times. Guys, we have 4 iPads in this house that I've rebuilt. And our kids have iPads out the booty hole to play with. We have an Xbox. We have a Wii. And we have a Blu-ray player. All in this house, guys. Not sure how comfortable I am releasing all this. Let me tell you, with all of that in mind, my kids still choose to go learn. And we don't push them to do it. I'm sorry to go all whisper town on you guys, but God dang it, this is just, if I'm not whispering, I'm yelling. I'm yelling. And I'm always afraid if I'm yelling into the mic, you guys are going to think I'm yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at these stupid freaking lies that have been fed to us that have never been questioned. But we believe the system, and it irritates me. And the last part of unschooling that we're going to cover today is that learning is an all-day task. See, unschooling says that we don't have a specific set of time that we learn. Is that learning happens all day. At every moment of the day is a learning opportunity. Guys, I want to go ahead. We're just not going to have time for today for the why should we do it and why should we unschool. We're not going to have time for that. We're already at 47 minutes. So I'm going to wrap up on the what it's not. So we're just going to treat today's episode as just the big, let's get a good feel for what it is and what it isn't. So what is unschooling not? Unschooling is not curriculum. A lot of people get this mentality that if we say unschooling, that must mean that we say you don't want curriculum. That is not the case. Remember, it's about child-led learning. Some kids are going to love a curriculum. They're going to want that. They're going to want something they can read, something that gives them nice little units that they can do it in. And they're going to love that. Some of them are going to do it exactly on time in a new lesson every single week, and some of them may only do one a week. Some of them may do 10 of them in a day. The idea is it's not our decision. It's self-directed. Child-led, right? We're to give them freedom in that outside of what do they need from us? What do we need to provide for them to make that happen? So the idea of unschooling is not saying that you don't use curriculum. It is not saying that you don't use classes. It's not saying that you don't have mentors that teach you in things. You understand? It's about what does a kid need and want to learn. It's not about no classes or courses. That doesn't mean that your kid's not going to want to run down to the local school and take a course if they will. Of course he may. Of course she may. We need to be sensitive to that to be able to help them get to it. What is unschooling not? It's not age-based. It's not about ages. It's not about a set of, you know, by this age to this age, you should have this learned. By this age and this stage, you should be graduating from the second to the third grade. It is not about ages. It is not about grades. It is about where is a kid personally? What do they need to learn? What are they ready to learn? The next part of it is unschooling is not about unparenting. A lot of people get this idea. There's a thing out there called deparenting as well. It's not that either. But it's not something that's like it's the easiest way for us to go because all we got to do is just sit back and they'll take care of everything. Of course not. Kids aren't just going to sit down and take care of everything by themselves. The idea is that we want to step out of their way for learning as much as we humanly can. Sometimes they're going to have some education as to why it is important for us to get up and do something else other than just sit at an iPad or an Xbox 360. Yes, we get that. It is a part of that. It is not about lazy parenting. As a matter of fact, it is some of the hardest parenting that you can ever do because you have to know your kid better than you can ever, 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 ever imagine. The next part of it is it's not compulsory. They do not have to be up by such and such time working on their schooling material by such. It is especially not about replicating a classroom inside your home. See, that's what just blows the socks out of most public educators that are even kind of considering or at least, you know, had heard about unschooling. That just blows their socks off. They don't have to get up and do anything if they don't want. It is operating under the belief system that when you allow a kid to genuinely and authentically experience their own personal interest, they do nothing but want to learn. But you see, we've screwed that up so much in public education system. Most people, when they see this idea, who've been ingrained and enculturated into this kind of public education system, they don't even believe that's still possible. They see kids who hate to frickin' learn. And they think, well, there's no way they do that at home. Bullcrap. I've seen it with my own eyes. What is it not? It's not staying home at all day. We talked a little bit about that when we talked about being, you know, socially interactive. But it is not sitting at your butt all day all home and not doing anything. It's not about sitting all day at home, never interacting with people, but running through your homeschool curriculum. It is very interactive. As a matter of fact, it posits that your kids need to be in social settings more than anything, especially at the start. As much as you humanly can. It's not about a grading scale. It's not about A's, B's, C's, and D's. It's not about comparing ourselves with our other, you know, fellow students to see how well we did compared to the rest of the group. It is not about labeling A, B's, C's, and D's. It is about what do you love? Let's hope you get involved with it so that way I can teach you how to love learning new stuff. Lumping that in there, guys, it's not about benchmarking. It's not about putting a little check mark to say, by this age, you should know this, 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 and this. If you do and you get all these different things, you got it. If you don't, you're deficient. We need to work on it. It says that those things will develop when it's time and when they're ready, when their brains have the capacity to be able to learn those things. Unschooling is not anxiety provoking. That does not mean that it's not stressful. We want our kids to experience stress. We do not want it to turn into distress. Whenever it turns into distress, we begin to have too much anxiety. Yes, we do want our kids to have some anxiety from time to time because we want them to learn how to handle it. But it is not about anxiety provoking. It's not about saying you must meet these certain levels, so you need to be afraid to make sure that you meet these certain levels. Whenever a person becomes anxious, we release a stress chemical called cortisol. Cortisol is known for blocking our ability to retain memory. Interesting little tidbit and fact on that. Whenever a mother, one of the biggest questions is why, if moms say that childbirth is the single most painful thing that they ever go through, how is it that parents or moms will have more than one baby? Why is that? Scientists think they know why. Because after that hugely stressful event that a mom goes through called childbirth, guess what happens to the body? It gets stressed out. Well, whenever it gets stressed out, what do we say just gets released? Yes, after childbirth, moms release a ton of a stress hormone called cortisol. It's not a bad thing. It makes you feel a little bit better when you release the stress hormone. It helps bring you down a little bit, but it also has this one other thing. It happens right after babies are born, right after when they hear that cry, and right after moms begin to lactate. They begin to release the chemical called cortisol. What does it do to memory? It causes memory to not be retained as well. That is why most scientists think that moms, after going for what they relate as being the single-handed most painful thing they go through, why is it that they'll say, I want another one? The cortisol blocks it. But you can see how, if your kid is super stressed out in an area where they need to be memorizing and learning, how big of a problem that is. Unschooling is about creating where they're not afraid of performing at a certain level. Just fall in love with learning and go learn new stuff. Unschooling is not the idea that knowledge must pursue kids. Remember, we talked about that earlier. It's the idea that kids will fall in love with learning so much they'll go get it themselves. We won't spend any time on that since we're running close at it. We're out of time here. Also, unschooling is not about learning being work. Unschooling says that learning is not about work. Right? We talk about school work. It's not that at all. It actually teaches that learning is a blast. Learning is also not the idea that parents don't ever teach. That doesn't mean that as parents we never step in and teach our kids something. I'm kind of a philosopher and I love philosophy. I love thinking. I love ideas such as liberty and self-sovereignty. And you better believe that I teach my kids about self-sovereignty. I teach my kids about encroaching on the liberties of others. Of course you teach. You teach in areas that you love and you have experience in. I teach my kids all the time. I love science. I love natural science. So you better believe that I teach my kids about what a cumulonimbus cloud is and how they're formed. We talk about condensation. We talk about different camouflaging patterns of bugs. We talk about linear ballistics. I love to teach my kids when they're interested in stuff. And last, what is unschooling not? It's not about preassembled crafts. I think I talked about this once upon a time, but I remember going to, as a matter of fact, I think it may actually have been on the Wednesday show this week, part one of the unschooling series. But we talked about whenever I'd gone to the camp and they had the preassembled birdhouses, right? It's not about teaching our kids through a craft where everything is all set up. All they have to do is cut it out and put it together. No. It says that kids need to struggle through getting all that information together. What do I need to build a birdhouse? What tools do I need? What wood do I need? What kind of attachment stuff do I need? Like, am I going to do a wooden peg system or am I going to do screws or nails? Am I going to paint it? Am I going to seal it? That's the information we want our kids asking. So it's not about assembling things for them that's easy for them to knock up real quick. It's about making them think. It's about making them struggle. It's about seeing them reach for something that they don't have any clue how to do, but they gain that experience. The interesting thing about kids is that while their brains don't fully function like an adult's, especially teens, they also typically have a significant portion more dendrites than we do, more neurons than we do. So their capacity for learning is well beyond what we can understand. So what do we need to do? We need to spend our time just loading them up with information and resources and places where they can find good, trustworthy information. And then set them loose. Let those little supercomputers do what they were designed to do. Do what they were made to do. And that's learn the things that they love. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Guys, I want to remind you again, if you love this show, if you really appreciate what we talked about today, don't forget to jump over to the Family Podcast at the very bottom of the page. Bottom of the post. Look on there where it says Bitcoin or Flatter. You can jump on there, add some money into those accounts, and don't forget to drop me a couple of bucks whenever you feel like I've done a really good job on a show. It always helps us run things along here at the Family Podcast Network. Keep the lights on, expand the show. Also let you be a part of this community for a very small amount. Don't forget you can also become a PTACR, Parents for the Equal Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. It's a funny little spin there. If you feel like you're getting $3 for every episode, don't forget, join the show and help us keep the lights on, help us keep this going, and throw those things out there. Guys, I sure do appreciate you. Hope you guys have a great stinking weekend. Sorry we weren't here for another episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. Jeff and I should be back in the saddle this next Friday as we kick off another episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. Guys, have a great day and a great week. If nothing else, we'll see you guys on Monday.